Hello, good day everyone, welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, and this is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, where we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am not joined by my usual co-host, Ryan, this week, because we've got two special guests for you. So we didn't want to get too crowded here, and you know, we're talking about blue cards, we had to kick them off. But why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves? I think you're both you know, fan favorites on the show.
Well, my name is Amit Ekaros MTG. I am an MTG streamer. I stream mostly Pioneer, and I really like the format.
Perfect. And Claudia, you with us?
Yeah, I'm Claudio, and I'm the same. I'm a Magic, I'm a Magic Online streamer. I play primarily Pioneer. And that's it.
So what he said.
Yeah, what he said.
Claudio is the same. Claudio is the same, except he wins more.
Ooh. He wins with everything. It's crazy. Yep. You know, at some point, I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, when do I have to? You know, if I'm trying to be an expert on the format, when do I have to be like, okay, don't even listen to what Claudio is playing because he's gonna win on everything anyways. Like, it's hard to tell if he's broken the format or if he's just winning on something that's jank from week to week. It's a majesty to watch. And we're really happy to have you both on the show. I think this is exciting. Really get to have some fun. And basically what I wanted to talk about is just how good Expressive Iteration is. That's kind of my theme for the episode, I think. But more specifically, what we really wanted to do is talk about these blue-red decks that are coming up in the meta and how it feels very unsolved because from week to week, we're seeing a lot of different builds of this deck. So before the new set came out, we were really starting to see a resurgence of Phoenix. I want to say it was you, Agros, who early on in this season kind of said, like, we've finally got a Phoenix deck that feels like it is built right. Now it's finally starting to win, and that's why. But I'd like to see where else we can go with blue-red, because it seems like we're seeing blue-red prowess. You know, blue-red dragons was a thing a little bit last season. We're seeing, you know, some versions that are running Arcanist, some versions that are running Stormwing Entity, some versions that are running Drake, some that are running Phoenix still. It feels really wide open, really unexplored, and I know both you guys have been doing a lot of work testing decks in this realm. So I want to see, you know, throw to you guys, see what we can do to look at the space, look at what the best deck or decks are in blue-red, and just kind of go from there. Sound about right?
Yeah, sounds good. I do think that, like you said, that Phoenix kind of popped up recently. I think that was when Fabrizio and Terry started playing it more. I actually want to look into this at some point because it really just kind of randomly returned. And I think it's a combination of having a good build and the metagame being better for it because it's a deck that can definitely punish Niv and definitely can punish unprepared opponents by virtue of having Drake and maximized velocity. So I think we started off... So like once that caught on, we just kind of kept exploring from there. I know I've been having a lot of fun. I am almost confident that Phoenix is the best thing to do in Pioneer right now, but I mean that's just my feelings. I'm not, you know, I can say for sure.
Interesting. Do you want to add to that, Claudio, or can we start
people
with
people just
Phoenix,
love to play in Phoenix because it gives you a ton of agency because of the amount of contrips you play, cards like that. So it's one of the best things to be doing for sure.
And you see a lot of cards playing Phoenix, so you get to kind of see your answers if you're running a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just feel like you
So let's start off with
control.
Phoenix. Yeah. Let's start off with Phoenix and kind of go there first. You know, like I was saying, shoot, one more time the name. I'm terrible with names. Who did you say it was that you felt like could really optimize the deck?
Fabrizio and Terry.
And how much has the deck changed from there?
I don't think it changed.
As this format.
Like, I don't think it changed much. The deck does include a lot of one-offs because you see so many cards. But the core of the deck basically remained the same. It's just you're kind of changing... It kind of feels like playing Legacy or Vintage when you're changing two cards in your deck and that doesn't feel significant, but in gameplay it actually matters a lot because you see so many cards. But the deck...
I know that like one of Anger of Gods has been a bit of a meme.
I mean, I wasn't a believer at first, and I am a believer. So the Aether Gust in the main deck was what really rattled me at first, but I've Ooh, grown to love it.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny to run like some cards that are, could be dead, like Hydreigon, because after all, you have looting effects in the deck. So you can always discard it to a Lavax or something. So that's what Ekros was saying. You see so many cards that it's fine to run like super impactful one-offs because you're going to find them at some point. Like, and the core of the deck, I think, stays unchanged. What you can see people trying the most are, is change the creature core instead of playing something like Crackling Drake playing Tea in the Ice if the metagame is right for the card. But usually you are going to see like the same kind of cards. Strategic Planning, Treasure Cruise, cards like that.
So that core is, you know, four of Arclight Phoenix, usually some amount of Crackling Drake, a lot of the four Treasure Cruise, four Strategic Planning, four Charter Course is a common one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that are often, you know, four Opt is another big one, but there's often, you know, Lightning Axe in multiples, Is It Charm in multiples, and from there, there are a lot of one and two ofs. You know, I see Is It Charm. I see. I'm looking at yours right now. I think Ekros and the one you 5-0'd with. I see one Sprite Dragon, one Brazen Bar, one Crash Through, one Maximize Velocity, one Wild Slash, one Aether Gust, one Thrill of Possibility, one Obsubstantiate, one Anger of the Gods, and a whole bunch of lands.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest reasons this deck is a thing is because Treasure Cruise is such a strong card. Like, I don't think this deck survives in Pioneer without Treasure Cruise. And I think that's what kind of got me exploring at some point, where I'm saying, well, Treasure Cruise is what makes this deck viable. Can it make other decks viable? And I gave it a shot in a few different shells, but that was the core idea.
And that's exciting. I really want to hear. So how did we start to get to those other decks? So that's a good setup for it is, you know, you were looking at Treasure Cruise and saying, hey, it's doing so good in Phoenix. Did you say, can we do Phoenix with other cards like Thing in the Ice that Claudia was saying? Or were you saying, let's look at Treasure Cruise decks that don't necessarily involve Phoenix?
So I tried. I think Treasure Cruise kind of limits you in how you can build your deck because you need to play things like Strategic Planning and cheap cards. So I tried to build kind of like Phoenix X Phoenix. Claudia was making fun of me about that. Because I just tried to jam all the good blue-red cards in one deck. You know, like Expressive Iteration, Spire Dragon, Dreadhorde Arcanist, Treasure Cruise, Crackling Drake, just not playing Phoenixes. And I tried it a bit, and it felt fine, and I think the deck can still has potential, but I actually think what got me exploring was not the Treasure Cruise aspect, but the aspect of I want to play Expressive Iteration, but I don't think it fits in Phoenix. And I think Claudio did the same, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Like when I saw the card and people were actually starting to play it in Modern as a 4-off in the Prowess deck, I was like, we can just play this deck in Pioneer because like the Prowess creatures are illegal, and like I started there with aggressive deck playing Expressive Iteration, like just to generate that card advantage, that velocity, because if you can chain a bunch of spells with Prowess creatures into play, you can just kill the opponent very fast. And that's where I started, like, brewing new decks with the card. It was basically all because of that card getting printed.
Awesome. And that is a really powerful card. So, yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen it, that's the, you know, it's pretty much a draw two for two. So it's blue-red. You look at the top three. One goes in your hand. One gets exiled. And you can play it this turn. The last one goes in the bottom. So if you grab a land on turn three, or if you any kind of one mana spell in turn three, you can usually double spell with this or triple spell later in the game.
And the card is just amazing at finding action because like at the beginning you can look for lands, after that you can just find two spells and keep the train going. It's really good.
Yeah, the versatility of the card is really amazing, and I don't think I really understood it until I actually cast the card. But once you do, you realize it's more than a divination. It gives you control of what's happening. It gives you selection and card advantage, and it's like all rolled in this one package, and it's a really strong card.
But you were saying that it doesn't fit in Phoenix, yeah. And like we were looking, it's not really any of those Phoenix lists. So is that meaning that you just can't play 3-4 drops, or is it because it's not a one drop, so you can't triple spell as easily?
I think it's not about... Sorry, Claudia.
I think it's more because it's awkward with the card, Arclight Phoenix, because you're not, you don't really to put it in your hand. You don't want to exile it. Like when you do cast iteration and fight the Phoenix, it's awkward. So
makes sense.
I think it's because of that. Like I don't play the deck that much. Akros could like say if I'm right or not about this.
I think that's a really good point because your like if you look at your cantrips in the Phoenix deck, it's like strategic planning which feeds Treasure Cruise and puts Phoenix in the yard. It's Charter Course which puts Phoenix in the yard. And then you're really left with not much space. So I think you can probably fit in like one or two if you wanted, but the other cantrips just you're kind of forced because of Phoenix and Cruise to play a certain kind of cards. So iteration doesn't fit, but also I'll say that maybe we're just wrong. Maybe we're gonna try a Phoenix deck with iteration, it's gonna be insane in some way or form. But so far, I think that if you want to play Treasure Cruise, you have to play like planning, and if you want to play Phoenix, you need to play chart. So that's pretty much limits you.
Yeah,
okay. So let's talk a little bit more about this blue red kind of prowess deck. And I see Bruniho is the one you had linked me, and he's got a lot of winning lists. I see yeah. Three or four when I'm looking through the 5-0s. Been doing well on the deck. And this is, you know, it does look a fair bit like the modern version. Swift Spear, Soul Scar Mage, Dreadhorde Arcanist, Sprite Dragon. And Stormwing Entity is a really cool one, since I think that card never really showed up until recently. That's the 5-mana 3/3 elemental that costs 3 less if you cast an instant sorcery. At least it had never shown up much in Pioneer.
Claudio, you played Prowess even like before, right? I remember you trying Prowess a few months ago before we had Strixhaven.
Mm-hmm. I was playing, but I was not playing Entity because I think the card's not that good, because Immortal you can play it on turn 2 because of the free spells. So I was playing a more like mid-range version with Bonecrusher Giants, because like it's very good against burn, and that deck was big at the time. I think that's the major difference, but like the core of the spells was kind of the same, like the one drops to go with the Arcanist.
Yeah, and that's another fascinating one, is whether or not Bonecrusher Giant fits into some of these lists. Again, we were seeing that in Dragons when that was kind of a deck, but it doesn't really fit into Phoenix, and it doesn't really fit into these really low-to-the-ground Prowess decks. So I would love to see if there's a way to get Bonecrusher in the same kind of list, but that's, again, trying to find one more thing to do
so,
in a already tight list.
Like, when I tried Bruninho's list for a league or two, and I did feel that Storm Rings were a bit clunky, and I wanted to try Bonecrusher instead. I never actually got around to do it, but I think I agree that Bonecrusher is really good for this archetype. I mean, just being a 4-3 is a really good start, just giving you more pressure. But
and like
the core of Sprite Dragon...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't play Storm Ring, you get to play Gigant as a companion. Like, I always value having a companion if you can. Hmm. Like, it's a free card. It's going to matter in a bunch of games. Like it's a 5-5. 5-5s win games.
Yeah, definitely. I like companions are really busted. So playing Giganta, even if it's the most vanilla one, is still really important.
Okay, Ryan sent the list that like I brewed this list like a day before the challenge I played, and I top 8'd. So I just saw that
yeah.
I saw that at that point like the deck had power because it was like the first draft and it killed Godder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just linked a first draft that Claudio had been working on. Yeah, it was Swift Spear, Soul Scar Mage, Expressive Iteration, Sprite Dragon.
Right.
He had Gitu Lava Runner to power up Wizard's Lightning as well.
Yeah. That's good.
Seagate Stormclaw is an interesting one. You know, I've been brewing a bit, but I haven't gotten to that one. Has that been any good?
So I cut this card later because when I put it in the deck, I thought I could copy Wizard's Lightning, and it doesn't work.
Oh, not quite. Oh, yeah, that doesn't work.
Such a shame. I think it's really interesting that Wizard's Lightning is probably like the best burn spell in the format, but it doesn't go well with a lot of cards. Like Swift Spear doesn't enable it, and you can't flash it back with Arcanist. It's just so awkward. Just feels like you're missing a piece to make it work.
Yeah, you see this list?
Oh, I was trying to run... Yeah.
This list was not playing Arcanist, so you see like more spells that cost 2 or even the Wizard's Lightning. So, and if you see that list that Bruninho is playing, I don't think he's even playing much many Lightning Strikes. He's playing like a bunch of Shocks.
Only two, yeah.
Because he's only two Lightning Strikes. He's just all in on the Darkness plan.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Since you're building the, you're yeah. You're building the deck to support the Darkness, so it makes sense that all your spells should cost one. Mostly.
Yeah.
And so that's another interesting one, is that, you know, we often talk about Arcanist being a great deck, and that seems to have been on a bit of a downturn, but what makes this a better Arcanist deck, or is it?
I think it's just much proactive, right? You can actually close the game really fast.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I don't think it's a better deck at supporting Arcanist, but I think the deck as a whole, just being more proactive, more lean, just gives it a lot more power.
Yeah, because...
Like, when, okay, that's interesting.
Like, because, like, the best cards to flashback with Arcanist are Thoughtseize and Fatal Push. That's not up to debate. Like, those are the most powerful cards in Pioneer, I think. And, but the Haktos Arcanist deck plays much differently. And when it's bad, it's because of other reasons. So, like, Graveyard Hate is
Young
like,
Pyromancer.
Yeah, so...
And that's something I definitely want to come back to, is kind of Graveyard Hate. You know, maybe I'm jumping topics again, but I've heard it said that, you know, Graveyard Hate isn't the best answer against Phoenix because of things like the Crackling Drake. How do you guys feel about Graveyard Hate, or the ability to hate against both the Prowess deck and the Phoenix deck?
From my perspective as a Phoenix player, Graveyard Hate is annoying. Not because of Phoenix, actually, but because it stops your... Like, the really effective Graveyard Hate stops you from playing Treasure Cruise, and then you get super clunky. But I tried many ways to go around Graveyard Hate in the threat department. I was playing Sprite Dragon, as you said. I thought about trying Bone Crusher and Stormwing and stuff like this. But at the end of the day, Drake is just the most effective way to fight hate, really. Because Crackling Drake counts cards in exile as well. So it doesn't matter if your opponent has Rest in Peace if you one-shot them with Drake on turn 12.
Yeah, often against decks that can deal with the Phoenix or are playing Graveyard Hate, you will see the Phoenix player adopt this position that I'm just going to play with cantrips, control the game, and at some point I'm going to play Crackling Drake with maximized velocity and kill you in one shot. Because that's a very effective plan.
Yeah, especially when you support it with cards like Aether Gust and Mystical Dispute and Izzet Charm, where you can easily set up this combo with like two pieces of backup, and you just wait because your opponent usually doesn't apply pressure, especially if they play hardcore Graveyard Hate. And when your opponent plays Solgad Lantern, which is annoying, if they don't pop it aggressively to exile your yard, you can usually just do whatever you want anyway, which is really nice.
Would it ever be possible to do a deck where that's the plan A and not the plan B? That's just kind of a curious question.
I wouldn't even say it's the plan B for Phoenix. I think a lot of my games end that way. Like, you use the Phoenixes to pressure your opponent into tapping out, and then you take them out with Drake. But as I said, I kind of tried that in an Arcanist Sprite Dragon shell with a specific iteration. And I think the plan is really good, especially if you can combine it with things like Dive Down or Spell Pierce or more dedicated protection.
Yeah, I think. What makes Phoenix good is that you have access to both, because like the Drake plan loses to a Fatal Push in the end, but against Fatal Push you have the Phoenixes, so you have those different angles of attack.
That's fair. That's smart.
Yeah, the Phoenix.
Okay, interesting.
So it's totally matchup dependent. Like you're playing against Niv, for example. Niv has a lot of sorcery speed removal that can hit the Drake. So you plan around that, because like they're going to have little to no answers to a hasty Drake, but they can kill Phoenixes a lot easier, for example. So it's very matchup dependent, I think.
All right, I'm going to lead us another direction, because you had kind of mentioned this earlier. Is, you know, you said the best thing that we could be flashing back with a Dreadhorde Arcanist is Fatal Push or Thoughtseize. I know you were brewing a little bit with Grixis. Have you guys looked at Blue Red X and splashing any kind of third color for the deck? What are some things that might bring to the Blue Red archetype? Probably not Phoenix, but maybe the Blue Red Prowess, which is the one that feels more unsolved.
So I started brewing the Grixis deck, and I liked the deck a lot. I was playing, it was not very aggressive. I was playing Jace, Prince Prodigy, Kroxa, and Arcanist, and Spread Dragon as the creatures, and a bunch of interactive spells. Thoughtseize, Ops, Fatal Push, and Specific Iteration. And like, I really like the deck. I think you have a lot of drawing the lock. You have a lot of tools. You are playing the best cards in Pioneer. But the issue is that the mana base is a bit painful to get going, because you don't have the blue black nor the black red fast lands. So to make your mana work, you have to play a lot of shock lands, and that really comes back to bite you when you play against aggressive decks.
Well, and the other thing there is that you get to be a Lurrus deck.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's always important when you can get the free companion.
Yeah, and also specifically Lurrus is just insane. Like, I was also trying various decks like this. I was mostly trying to splash green as well for Bring to Light and Valky. But the core of playing Fatal Push, Thoughtseize, Arcanist, and some number of Kroxas was the same. But like, the problem is you kind of need the blue, because your card advantage spells in black and red really lack. Village Rites is not a good magic card in itself. And the fact that you get to play Opts and Drown in the Locks and Expressive Iteration is really, really important.
So that's interesting. I hadn't realized you'd tried it with green. And yeah, I was going to ask next is, you know, black seems obvious because of Thoughtseize and Fatal Push, but is there anything that green or white would add to the deck maybe?
So I tried it as four colors. I was basically playing Grixis but splashing Bring to Light.
Okay.
But I don't think that white or green add anything. Claudio, I would, like, if you have
any insights. Basically, the white Arcanist deck is the heroic deck, right? It already exists. You play the Defiant Strike, Geared for Battle, you have like one mana cards to flashback. Exactly.
Maybe even Guiding Voice at some point.
Which one is that? You sound like you're hyping up a fun card there.
It's the Learn card from the one mana Learn card that puts a counter and learns. I thought it might work. I never got to test it because I don't think Heroic is a very good deck in a format where push is the best card. But
right,
I think that deck has its spots, like, to be decent.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when push decks are not great, like when you can get your creatures enormous, it's really tough to beat sometimes. But I'm not a fan of these strategies in Pioneer personally.
Okay. So what else do you guys think needs to be explored, really? So where does it seem like there's still holes or places that people haven't looked into the deck enough? Because I do agree, like, Phoenix, while there is still a lot of variation available, feels a little bit more solved, but all of these blue-red decks, what do you still want to see people try?
I think that you see a lot. There's a historic PT this weekend, and you can see a lot of historic decks playing the Polymorph Artifacts Ingenuity. And you can do something like that in Pioneer. You don't have the Velomacus, but you have Gearhook, and what you can do is play discard Magma Opus to make treasures, and like crack the Magma Opus for the Ingenuity to like get Gearhooks out of your deck all at once, and kind of have a combo queue. I played with this deck quite a bit, and it was fine, but like, I didn't play it more, but I think it's a really good shell that's not very much explored.
That's interesting.
I agree. I was watching the PT coverage this weekend, and I was really impressed with how all the Izzet cards kind of come together to support this plan. Even the Dwarven Mine card, which is like the Mystic Sanctuary but for red, which puts a 1/1 creature, which is really good for turn 4 for the turn 4 Polymorph. So I agree that like a Torrential Gearhulk Opus deck can probably do something with iteration as well. And I also think we can maybe see some kind of Dragons deck.
Play. That's the like, the big one.
What happened to Dragons?
I think
like, people, if you can actually play, I think in Pioneer one of the things you're lacking the most is good 2-mana counterspell. And if you get to play what's it called?
Silunga's Scorn.
It can be a really huge boon for the deck.
I think that deck
because that deck fell off. It disappeared.
The deck is tough to figure out, right?
Yeah,
it's tough to figure out because you can't be a control deck because like Godspan Dragon is not a control deck, a control card.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tempo card. Like you have to like kill your opponent and keep them off balance for long enough so the dragon can close out the game. And the interaction, the red interaction Pioneer is not the best. Like you're kind of bad at killing creatures. Mm-hmm. It's a bit tough to figure that out. I think, for example, what this deck is missing to be really good is a flame slash.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eyes open for like that kind of effect. When you get a playable removal spell for red, a deck like that could be really good.
Yeah, I agree. You can build it in so many ways, right? You can build it with Sprite Dragon, you can build it with Bone Crusher Giant. You have so many ways to fill like these slots. And I think we talked about this a bit before. Just no one really has the incentive to put the time necessary into fleshing out the deck.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like building new decks is very time consuming. Like I tried to build a Kinnan deck with the Dragon, Galazad Prismari, and I spent like 3 weeks building the deck, and at the end I didn't have anything because the deck was not good. So it's really time consuming to try to actually build a new deck to be a competitive deck. You have to test a bunch, you have to try new cards, it's really hard.
And I think it's important to say that not everyone is good at building decks. Like, I don't think I'm a great deck builder. I think I'm much better at taking something existing and tuning it. So when I sit down to like build a deck and play it, I know it's probably not going to work, or it's going to require like 3 times the work Claudio's first draft would. And that's a big cost sometimes.
Interesting. So, I mean, this is fun. I'm happy to keep you guys talking if you've got points. Otherwise, I'll keep jumping in with more questions.
Mm-hmm. I think, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, what else are you guys looking for blue-red? I really liked you bringing up that point about Flame Slash or something like that effect. What are some other effects that you feel like the deck or the various archetypes in blue-red are missing that would really help it?
Better cantrips, maybe? Opt is actually... Like, I used to hate on Opt, but I think the card is absolutely fine.
I would like to... You know what deck I would like to be good? The Elder Deep Fiend deck. That's like a completely different blue-red archetype that I don't think it's good enough, but I don't know what could be printed to help the deck, but like it's a really unique deck. So
maybe like
the blue red
emerge deck. Maybe what it's missing is like better mana base. I don't know. Maybe the mana is not it, but because that deck needs to play what's it called? The land that you sacrifice, Sanctum of Ugin.
Sanctum of Ugin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is, but it's actually really surprising this deck isn't a thing because the adventure creatures play so well into it, right?
Ooh. Yeah, like it could be just the case that this deck is great and no one's playing it. Just like Blue Red Phoenix, because like if Kozilek's Return is great in Pioneer, this deck should be amazing. For example.
Yeah.
Maybe
you can find.
Mm-hmm. You always see these things happen in Pioneer. For example, this is not a Blue Red deck. But I was like, why no one is playing Omnath Ramp anymore? Is the deck bad? That I just went and played and the deck was completely fine. It was actually good.
Yeah, it's just, there's no reason. It's just that, like, Uro got banned, people stopped playing it, and that's it. That's the entire story.
Yeah, people just have to try stuff. And
oh, now...
Yeah, Teferi too, but...
Now you got me going with that Eldrazi deck.
Yeah, yeah.
We happy to brew with that some. The other one I was going to say is, what about Thing in the Ice? You know, you'd mentioned you'd seen or thought about some versions with it, but I don't think I've seen anything in the ice show up.
In the beginning, when Auras was a really big deck, like, these days Auras is, like, not a deck anymore that you see a lot. But but when Auras was a thing, like, Thing in the Ice was the card you used to beat Auras, because this version of Phoenix that we see today doesn't beat Auras anymore, because you really need the Thing in the Ice to actually, like, reset a big lifelinker, for example. But, like, in the beginning, you actually saw Thing in the Ice in the decks, because it was a good card in the metagame.
I do actually think that part of what made Phoenix better was that we moved away from Thing in the Ice, because we didn't need it anymore. Because I think, as a card, the card's just... I don't think it's good enough for Pioneer. Again, I might be biased, but it feels like it's good versus a very specific subset of decks.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and I never, like, and I always played the decks that beat on those decks, which are the decks that run one mana kill spells, and then Thing in the Ice looks pretty embarrassing.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Thing in the Ice, but I do think that, like Claudio said, if Auras is back in the format, then we could definitely see it come back as well.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because there are decks where it's just not very good at all, right? Like Niv-Mizzet, I don't think that Titty was doing anything. Thing in the Ice.
Just giving them more Niv-Mizzet triggers.
Yeah, you basically want the Thing in the Ice against creature decks that don't have removal spells, like Spirits, Auras, decks like that. Because against decks that have spot removal, you're just making your deck worse.
Mm-hmm.
Even against Spirits, now the banned version is running Skyclave Apparition.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of looks embarrassing when you're trying to, like, flip a Thing in the Ice and you just go 3-drop kill it.
Yep.
Especially at instant speed.
Yeah.
All right.
Deck, actually, I was looking for an Eldrazi list because I was intrigued, and I actually found a different list which we haven't seen in a while, and that's the Ensoul Artifact decks.
That's what I was going to do next. Is I was gonna, you know, as long as we're going through all the blue red archetypes, let's talk in Soul, because that really hasn't shown up at all.
I hate the deck so much.
You hate to play it, or do you hate to show up against it and have them always have Stubborn Denial in you?
Yeah, because I obviously play a lot of Niv-Mizzet, and that deck plays 4 Stonecrow Serpent, and Stonecrow Serpent with the scissors is unbeatable. I mean, I think that deck is fine, but it's a bit, it's an aggressive deck that's a bit flawed, because you're really good at hitting people, but you're not very good at defending yourself. So if people are playing other aggressive decks, you are at a disadvantage, because you're only good into the offensive, basically. It's my opinion.
And you can't really be a slower version of that, because in Soul, it's a 2-for-1 if it dies. You know, Shrapnel Blast, it's 2-for-1 when you use it. So it'd be hard to do card advantage. You know, something like Spread of Iteration probably wouldn't help save the deck.
Yeah, the deck is a very single-minded deck, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think that Claudius was talking as a Niv player, that he thinks this deck is tough for him. As someone who plays push whenever I can, I am thrilled to see this deck usually. And I think, again, that's like the big flaw of this deck. If you have a hard time beating a Fatal Push, you're going to have a hard time in Pioneer.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into kind of the last big thing I wanted to bring up, is looking at the other side of the matchup. What is the way to beat Phoenix or these blue-red prowess decks? Like, what are our best hate options for other decks?
I think, for example, if you're playing a deck that has access to Rest in Peace, you have the Rest in Peace in play. Now, what you have to worry about? You have to worry about Crackling Drakes, and you can build up game plan from there. Like, I have the Graveyard Hate, like, now I can deal with the Crackling Drakes if my deck is weak to that, and, like, follow up from there. Black decks can play Cling to Dust, because it's fairly good against Phoenix, and, again, you can worry about the Crackling Drake. Usually, you're going to try to, like, exile Phoenix from the graveyard and worry about the Crackling Drake, because it's really not possible to outgrind Phoenix because the deck draws so many cards. So if you're not aggressive enough to actually kill them and you're trying to play a longer game, it's best to focus on answering like their actual threats, because they don't have that many threats in the deck. Like three Kraken Drake for Arclight Phoenix. That and some Planeswalker post board. So those are like few answers. If you have the Rest in Peace in play, for example, like it's for four cards that doesn't matter anymore. So
yeah. And I think that's a really good point. You need to stop. You can actually stop all their threats, which is really important. But also making it harder to cast Treasure Cruise is really, really strong. And that doesn't have to be Graveyard Hate, even from the combination of Thoughtseize and Kroxa. Just comes into the port, like puts you on under pressure in. You need to cast Cruise ASAP, but then it can get snagged by Thoughtseize and you're getting hit by a 6-6 while doing so. So that's a really good combination. And
you see some decks playing some really good cards against that deck. Like, for example, Green White Company plays Archon of Emeria. That card is really annoying for Phoenix in general. Like, they can kill it, but they have to get rid of the board, or like the deck doesn't function. You see blue-black decks playing Leyline of the Void these days, because it's really good against Phoenix as well.
Narset is really strong, especially really if you can good. Protect like, it.
Yeah, you have a lot of options. You can see what your deck can play.
How about for the aggro decks, things like Burn? What is the best options against Phoenix if you're playing a Burn deck?
Against...
Go really fast?
Yeah, go really fast.
Yeah.
You can go really fast and like play Magma Sprays to like exile the Phoenix because you're playing red. Magma Sprays is a good answer.
I don't even think you need Magma Sprays. I think... What Burn needs to try and do is capitalize on Phoenix being somewhat dirty at times. Like, I'm gonna find my removal spell at some point, but I might need to cast four cantrips to get there. So if you punish me for doing that and my draw doesn't line up,
yeah, I'm gonna die. Landing Idol on turn two could be devastating if they don't kill it right away, because the deck is a bunch of cantrips, so...
Yeah.
Okay. Like, if your deck has the speed to actually kill them before they set up, you should focus on that. Not get distracted by the, it's a graveyard deck, Phoenix. Like, that's a trap sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about their graveyard stuff and just keep your main plan of burning them out. Help them stumble when you possible. Okay.
Yeah. Like, if you can land an Eidolon of the Great Revel and I need to cast Treasure Course into... Charter Course into it... I'm going to lose the game, probably.
It's really bad.
It feels really, really bad. But sometimes, and I also think that's a big strength for Phoenix in Pioneer, sometimes you're going to draw, like, three shock effects, and your opponent has nothing going, and then you cast Treasure Cruise, and they're dead. Because they're so far behind. I think the consistency of Phoenix makes it hard to attack, so I think if you're playing Burn, try and be fast. If you're not, you need to have... an actual plan for beating their entire deck and disruption to stop them from doing their thing.
All right. You know, maybe we're a little bit quieter here without Ryan. Maybe he's the fault that we're running long. You know, we're about 40 minutes in, but I've covered most of the things I really wanted to talk about. Can we get a last minute to anything that you're still exploring in blue-red, anything you really want to call out? You know, now's your chance to think of the next big blue-red deck before it happens.
Ooh, we might actually test the Eldrazi deck now.
I'm excited. Yo, definitely send me a link or tweet it out if you get a finished list.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna make Claudio build a good dragon list, and then I'm gonna try it.
Perfect. And maybe I'll work on. Now you got me thinking about what it would take to make a slower and soul deck. Like, I just want to play that Stonecoil Serpent, but run like maybe Galazeth Prezari or something like that.
Like when Luhus was unearthed, and so it was one of the best decks, but it was blue white. And the deck played...
It was Jeskai, right?
I guess some versions were. Like, you played Trub Inspector, 2-Craft Exemplar. So you had a bit more powerful cards. That could be a way to build it, maybe. You had Thrun. Yeah. Thrun draws cards when you play your Ensoul. Yeah, you can get something going there. I actually have the blue-red deck built, the blue-red dragons deck built. This happens to me a lot. Like, I have an idea, I build decks, and they stay there for months. Like, I have a Lucky Clover deck built, and I built this deck like 5 months ago, and I have never played.
Well, you gotta give it a shot, see what we can do. Okay.
Yep.
Trying to think of anything else. Oh, we never talked about any of the Planeswalkers, really. I think you brought up quickly Narset, but like, whatever happened to the Twins card? What was that one called?
The Royal Science?
Yeah, I remember when that used to show up a little bit in Phoenix and things.
It's actually, I think, really good with Arcanist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something we can explore, I guess, at some point. Like, it's good with Arcanist because it pumps it. And it's good with Drake because it gives Trample, I think. So,
Yeah.
At that point, that could be interesting for my list where I was playing Arcanist and Spire Dragon and Drake, because that just had trouble closing out the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's stock these days for Phoenix to play Narset, because it's card advantage and it's really good against in the mirror match, and
against blue black.
And the Raul is it Viceroy, because it's a Planeswalker that generates card advantage and it's a removal spell for Niv-Mizzet, for example. So you're usually going to see those two.
Yeah.
Sometimes people
specifically
play Raul.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sometimes people play Chandra Torch of Defiance, but that's a bit rare. But those are like the main Planeswalkers people play.
Like, I think Chandra is overall probably better than Ral because it's cheaper and like the mana can be useful. But Ral dodges Vanishing Verse, which is pretty big in the matchups where it matters. So.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rod actually kills the 5-mana dragons like Niv and Korvold, so maybe I'm just wrong.
Korvold, yes.
True.
Yeah, Korvold is a heck of a card.
All right, so we're going to have to do some brewing, I think. There's a lot of interesting things here. And I'm glad to hear that. That's always how I enjoy an episode, is when we get towards the end and I'm thinking about what decks I'm going to go ahead and build right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, thank you for both coming on. This is really cool, getting to have two pros kind of, not butting heads. I think we're all mostly in agreement here. Really looking at what's going on in Blue, Red, and Pioneer. And I think you guys are two of the biggest voices of the format. So really happy to have you. If you guys enjoyed this content, you guys being the listeners, enjoy this content. If you'd like to hear more, make sure to follow us on Twitter at MTGPioneer is the best place to reach us, as well as to find a link to our Discord where you can converse with us about the shows and share show ideas, look at deck lists, all that kind of fun stuff. Why don't you guys both go ahead and share your contact information?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter and on Twitch under EkerosMTG. That's EkerosMTG. I stream, I tweet, I do stuff, so come check it out.
And you play the best format in Magic.
Hopefully. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and at Twitch at ClaudioHMTG. I'm streaming kind of not that much these days, but I usually post a lot of things on Twitter, like deck lists I'm playing, things that I think are good. And that's kind of it. Twitter is, I use it a lot to post deck lists, so it's a really good source of content.
Yep, and we try and tweet them out or give you some likes to get some noise on those whenever possible, because they're always a fascination. I think you're a great deck builder, one of my favorite people to follow for lists. And that's about it. Thank you guys one more time for coming onto the show. Really appreciate it. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, and we look forward to being everyone out there's go-to source for Pioneer information online. Make sure to follow both of our guests, and thank you all for listening. Signing off.